Well, you're about to hear a familiar voice here in just a couple seconds. Those of you that are new to the area may not have known all the history, but those of you that have been around for a while remember the incomparable Jack Jabbour on our sports broadcasts, who, of course, was our sports analyst on KMTS for 20-some years. 21, I believe, is the exact number. So the full story, I'd actually kind of, if it's okay with you, Coach Jay, I'd like to tell the whole story from the beginning, if you will. Okay. Back in 1999, when we hired Ron as the news and sports guy, it was during basketball season, of course, and Ron did, I think, just a few games as we transitioned from our previous broadcast team to Ron. We got to the district tournament that year, and I went with Ron just as a technical aide, not on the air. And as we're talking, it occurred to me, well, what do you think, Ron, about having somebody do, like color or statistics, that kind of thing? And he said, well, I mean, sure, you know, it's not common in radio, or, you know, local radio. I said, you know, my teacher from Riverside from years ago, he used to write for the newspaper. I wonder if he'd be interested. So as I recall, I called Mr. Jabbour at home and said something along the lines of, you know, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Exactly. I recall it to this day. And I was actually in my classroom at Riverside Middle School.
Oh, was it? Did I call you at school? Okay.
Yep. Called me on my school phone back when we had such things.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And as I recall, because again, you're still working, you had, you know, a full-time job as a teacher, and could make the first game of the day, which as I recall started at exactly 3:30. So I think you had somebody cover maybe the last few minutes of your last class of the day. And it was literally, you walked into the gym, we said, hello, Ron, this is Jack, Jack, this is Ron, and we had to go on the air. And I still remember the magic of that first game and thinking, I may not know anything about sports, but I know radio, and this sounds good. And so many great memories and great games and state championships that you got to call with Ron over the years. And I'm not sure if angry is the term I would use to express, but of course it was a little over 2 years ago now when you ended up I'm sorry. As you can tell, this is something that is very emotional to me, but Jack went in the hospital with COVID. You were there for 50 days. There were times it was touch and go, and I guess we're skipping chapters here, but ended up having to move to Kansas for lower elevation, be closer to family. We thought everything was okay. Last January, there was a big scare back into the hospital. And then, around Thanksgiving, you had another scare, and yet here you are, by God. Still talking
here
to
I
us
am.
And still doing great, and that voice is the same. What I remember back in the 80s in junior high, and what we remember over the last 21 years or so calling those games.
Well, I am grateful to be here. Obviously, I mean, yeah, the opportunity to not be here was certainly present during the, especially this recent time, but. But to be able to share my song with you, that, you know, make a dream of mine come true, play one of my songs on the radio. Can't believe it.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
So I want to, because I told everybody that we would be, you know, premiering, if you will, on KMTS, at least this song for the first time. It's actually not a new song.
No. No, I wrote it a while ago. Do you want me to give you the background on the song?
Well, first of all, a little more background. As I mentioned, Jack was, you know, my teacher, as so many. We used to joke about the 7 degrees of Jack Jabbour, right? Because during those games, especially the first few years, there was always some connection. You knew either the player that was playing the sport, or you knew a member of their family.
Or a referee, somebody.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And one of my fondest memories, I know you always had a guitar in the classroom, and I don't know if you'd practice, you know, during planning hours or when, you know, the kids weren't around, but I want to say maybe once a month, maybe more often than that, you'd pick out the guitar and you'd, you know, play tunes while we were, you know, writing in our journals or something like that. Those are some of my fondest memories from the time.
You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, I especially when I was having some, you know, some bad health things, I heard from a lot of former students, and I thought, I don't remember any of my junior high teachers. Why do these guys still remember me? And I thought, oh, it must be playing Dead Skunk in the middle of the road in the classroom that makes me different from everybody else.
Well, I mean, every teacher is unique, you know, and the relationship with each student, I'm sure, is unique. But that's something that definitely stands out to me as well. And your sense of humor, you always had a dry sense of humor, which I always appreciated as well.
Yeah, one of my favorite episodes with that was I told a kind of a really bad pun in one of my classes, and I looked over at this girl and I said, did that? I said, nobody got that, you know, and she looked back at me and she said, I got it. I just didn't think it was that funny. So,
ouch.
Yeah.
Sometimes kids have that, that no filter, just tell it how it is kind of
honest. Yep.
Yes. Yep. Just completely
I'm
honest.
Always, they keep you young or they kill you, especially those seventh and eighth graders.
So the story about the song, again, I think you told me this was back around 2004, 2005 or so.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at a printout that I made, and it says 2006. I wrote it on December the 10th, if you can believe. I actually have the date.
Oh, I can believe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You keep pretty good records. Pretty good records on stuff, you know, just generally speaking, of course.
Well, what was happening is I was, you know, reading part of the Christmas story, and everybody knows, you know, that the shepherds are out in the field and they see angels, right? Well, I came upon another little part of the Christmas story where another person saw an angel. And of course, you may or may not know that every time an angel shows up to somebody, he always has to tell them, don't fear, be not afraid. I mean, the pattern happens over and over again in the Bible. But anyway, here's another guy who sees an angel. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many people in this Christmas story saw angels. You know, I knew about, you know, everybody knows, most people know about Mary, but I encountered 4 different places, and I had to go, the Christmas story is primarily told in Luke, but it also, there's also a version in Matthew. It isn't in the other two gospels, but I was digging through there, and I found 4 places, and it just, so the song basically just wrote itself. First verse is the most obscure, and when I used to play this song in chapel at the Garden School, or Liberty Classical Academy as it's now known, I would ask the kids, I say, all right, tell me who sang, you know, who is this first verse about, and most people wouldn't know. The second verse, I'd ask about that one, and most people could get it, and the third verse was a little challenging, and then finally the fourth one is the shepherd. So that's kind of where it came from, and you know, I guess I got to give the Bible credit because I stole a lot of the lines right out of it when I wrote the song.
Fortunately, God is not a member of ASCAP, BMI, or any of the other royalty companies. So,
yeah, he doesn't need our pennies.
Right, exactly. So the recording of the song, it's one thing to write a song, it's another to record it, and you had some help there.
Oh, yeah. My good buddy David Miller, he and his wife Renee are the ones that founded the Garden School. But Dave and I have always been musically linked up. And when I was playing, he would play bass with me a lot of times, or we would just jam together. And he had a setup in the basement of the Garden School, the old school, where we could do some recording. And so I went down there and I recorded some of my songs. And then Dave just, he got the old GarageBand app out, and he would add a little this and a little that to him sometimes. And then on this particular song, he got his daughter Mackenzie and her good friend Patience to come in and sing some background vocals. And when I heard it, I it was just transformed for me. And so so since then, I've recorded several, actually a couple of CDs with Dave. And, all of my own songs. But this is the name of one of the CDs, They Saw an Angel.
All right. And I suppose I've teased it long enough and I've drawn it out long enough. It is kind of my thing, you know. It's an occupational hazard that you can't get me to shut up.
Well, Gabe, I do recall back when you were in seventh grade, you wanted to be on the radio then.
Yeah.
You still have the poster, I believe, that I saved and gave you a number of years ago.
Absolutely. I still do.
Yep. You used to walk around with a pencil as a microphone, as I recall.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Anyway, the reason why we're here, the reason why we're talking, it's the world premiere of Jack Jabbour, produced by David Miller, They Saw an Angel.
Burning incense to God, he saw an angel. Saw an angel, answered to their prayer. He'll go before the Lord to prepare their hearts. Call him John, planning to be with. She saw an angel. They saw an angel,
saw an angel,
bringing tidings of joy from a manger. We're a baby boy who's born, and we bring glad tidings of great joy. And we bring glad tidings of great joy. They saw an angel, and the glory shone all around. They saw an angel, and the glory shone all around. Sing glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Singing glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
Our very own Jack Jabbour, I Saw an Angel. Great work. Man, that voice is strong and true there. Coach J, Coach Chapstick, as I've called you over the years. And
yeah, I don't know how that got started, but...
I do remember how it got started. Ron called you Coach J once during a broadcast, and I remembered... Susie Hamilton, the figure skater, yes, back in the 80s. And, you know, I like Chapstick so much, I changed my name to Susie Chapstick. And so I just, you know, just another one of those weird random references. So as I'm listening to the song, I'm thinking, you know, we're talking about all this history and the team. So why not get the team back together? So I asked Ron if he'd jump on as well.
Hey, great. Jack.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, I've got the CD. I remember you giving me an autographed copy.
All right.
Yeah, well, still got
you it. You had it years before it finally made it on the air.
That's right, yeah. Great stuff. Great song. So thanks for sharing that, Jack. I didn't know Gabe used a pencil as a buddy.
Yeah,
buddy,
he walks around interviewing people at lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I recall, it did not make me any more popular than I was before.
Well, you did run for president in my class. Yeah,
yes, I did, and failed miserably.
Well, you know, that wasn't the point, though. And you were learning things even though you didn't realize it, and that was the whole point of the exercise. But aside from that, thanks for playing the song. You know, it's kind of interesting how it all happened. I just wanted to send out a Christmas greeting. A lot of people have been asking about me and how my, you know, what my condition is like and that sort of thing. And so, you know, periodically I send out emails or Facebook live sessions or, you know, one way or another, try to let people know, because, you know, it's just, I'm just so appreciative of all the people who've been thinking about me and contacting me and praying for me, even if they don't contact me. That, you know, I just wanted to give something back. So I send out an update from time to time, and I decided, well, it's Christmas, I'm going to put my Christmas song on here. And so I stuck it on there, and then I hear back from Kelly Thompson, who you guys know is the conductor of the Symphony in the Valley, and he says, I liked that song so much, I decided to share it with Gabe Chenoweth over at KMTS. And I thought, well, okay. And the next thing I know, I hear back from Gabe that he wants to play it. And just talking with you guys, hanging with you guys is so much fun. That's, you know, Ron and I, we clocked a lot of time together. I must say, I miss our traveling, but
yeah, more than games and more than the games, and we called some we're blessed to call some phenomenal contests and see some great student athletes. It's the road trips,
yeah.
You know, it's just invaluable.
Yeah, yeah. It's always, you know, whenever a player retires, it isn't the world championships that they won, you know, or the, you know, the batting titles or the, you know, the touchdowns or whatever so much, because they've been doing that their whole lives, at least as an athlete. But it's that locker room camaraderie, and for us, you know, the travel and you know, even today, trying to get on the air here, there's always something, you know, and yet when it comes time to go on the air, you know, Gabe or Pat or somebody works some magic and there we are. You know, you people listening at home, you have no idea the last minute shenanigans that sometimes go on. And then Ron just comes on the air and says, "Good Friday evening, we're wherever you are." And I never know, because I just am always along for the ride, or was.
So many stories we could tell, and maybe we will get together again sometime in the future to discuss some of those. It is so great to hear your voice. You know, so yesterday, Ash Appleton, who you would remember as Ashley Bowles, who was a standout athlete at Coleridge, she is now the head girl soccer coach. And she came in because they're doing a fundraiser. They're going to pick up Christmas trees for folks. But in preparation, I thought, you know, maybe I should go back and listen to a game or two. And so I listened to you and Ron call the grade eight against Erie over in Fort Collins. And man, I know I'm a fan. So when you're a fan, you look for the good in everything. But I do miss hearing the two of you guys together. So this is kind of a fun for me just to hear you back and forth and kind of be a fly on the wall. It's almost like listening to one of those baseball games years ago and, you know, just listening to a couple friends,
you know,
calling a game.
It's probably a good thing that Ron and I didn't get together much before we went on the air, because if I'd have known he was from USC right away, you know, there might have been a little friction there.
So,
you know, being a UCLA grad.
It's funny that you would say that. It was about, oh, it's maybe a month, 5 weeks ago. I can't remember when. But Ron and I were visiting, and I said, "By the way, have you heard anything from Jack? Have you, you know, what's going on?" He said, "Yeah, we haven't really talked much since the USC-UCLA game."
The day after the SC-UCLA game, it was usually quiet for the first 50 miles or so.
Yep. I remember that well.
Yeah.
I think it came up on the air once or twice. Oh,
well,
such fun.
You know, it's kind of like the Dodgers, you know, we just never seem to get over the hump. It's once in a while you get, you know, you break through and you beat the big boys, but you know, most of the time it's a little brother. I don't know, this going to the Big Ten seems like a strange transition. I don't know that I can quite relate to UCLA and USC being in the Big Ten.
Nor
it's
can
like,
I.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
very strange.
What?
Well, speaking of, you know, the last 2 years and recovering from COVID and being a long hauler, you are still asking folks to help you out with your medical expenses, because in particular, this last trip to the ER and to ICU is not going to be paid by Medicare.
Wow, you're just all over it, aren't you? How'd you know that? Yeah.
I can read. I had your English class. You know that.
Yeah. Well, you know how the medical industry is. If they can get away with denying something, they will. And you have to work at it. And actually, the last time I got out of the hospital, they wouldn't let me out of the hospital unless I agreed to go on hospice, you know, because they thought, you know, it was pretty close to the end based on my condition. But after about 6 months in hospice, they were beginning to make noises and said, well, what do you think? And I said, and they'd come in and do an evaluation. And you know, my condition is better, but it really essentially hasn't changed. I've got all this scar tissue in my lungs that makes me susceptible to anything, you know, and sure enough, that's what put me down this time. But the thing about hospice is they're supposed to make you comfortable for your last days, not make you better. So when I went to the hospital this last time, that's kind of like a violation of the hospice guidelines, sort of. And so they didn't really want to cover that. And of course, Medicare says, well, since you're on hospice, we're not covering it. So who knows? You know, it'll be a dance. But yes, I've got a GoFundMe site that I've had for quite some time. You want me to recite it?
I was actually just looking because I believe. So if you just Google Jack Jabbour GoFundMe, it's the first result.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. That's a lot easier than me reading off all these letters, /
right,
numbers, et cetera. Okay, great. Right. But I would like to share the story. If people want to hear my entire story about this whole COVID encounter, which, well, let's see, it wound up with two weddings and an almost funeral, but, like I said, my brother and my family came out here to attend my funeral, and instead they wound up going to a wedding. But that story is in, you know, I blogged it at a site called covidtrain.wordpress.com. So you can read the story that I wrote. It takes a little work to do it because I wrote it one chapter at a time. And so the end is first, and then you work your way through. I haven't figured out the technology to do it more sophisticated yet. I also wrote a story in there based on all the guitars that I've owned and how they came to be and what adventures I had with them and that sort of thing. I took one of them with me to Altamont, that Rolling Stones concert where the Hells Angels wound up beating up people and that sort of thing. So I've got stories like that in there. So, yeah, that's covidtrain.wordpress.com, all run together, lowercase, if anybody's interested in reading those stories. And you can subscribe to it. And by the way, I'm going to write an epilogue based on this latest adventure. And see where that goes. I don't know. It's one thing that I can do now is I can still write and share things with people, and they seem to enjoy it because I get a lot of feedback. So I'll keep doing it as long as I have the opportunity.
Well, and speaking as one of your former students, the irony is not lost on me that after torturing us with, you know, those DAR reports every year and enforcing the journal writing, that now you would be spending your time writing in the journal.
Keeping the journal.
Yep.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, I always felt like there was some worth to it. I didn't realize it was that much torture, but I guess so.
No. I'm being silly. It was.
I understand, but the fact that you remember the DAR, the Daughters of the American Revolution, is is pretty memorable to me. It's like, what, you remember writing the DAR essay? Yeah, it was just, you know, one of the things that I encountered early on was anytime a student can write for the real world for publication, they work a little harder at it. So that's why it may have been a funny little contest for people to enter, but it was an opportunity for you guys to get published. And we actually had a few winners. So that was fun.
Well, as you said, when you're talking about sports, you know, I don't remember much about diagramming sentences or that, but I certainly remember the laughs in the classroom and running and not winning for president and the journals, and absolutely remember those 21 magical years on the radio.
Oh, yeah. I thank you for that opportunity. That was definitely a highlight. And, you know, recently we were following our granddaughter around. She played volleyball, and it was a little reminiscent of those days when Ron and I'd go, well, Ron's still doing it, but, you know, going from gym to gym, we'd go to some obscure little town and go watch her play volleyball. So I was just a person in the stands like so many parents and grandparents over the years. But that is one of the great joys of being a parent or a grandparent. And, you know, I know that that you hear them complain, oh, we got to go to Steamboat, or oh, we're going to Craig tomorrow night, or whatever else. But, you know, cherish those times, folks, because once they're gone, you're going to miss them.
Indeed.
And I appreciate, you know, and one of the things I always liked about KMTS is that we didn't just broadcast home games that anybody could go to, but Ron would get out whatever vehicle was running for him that month. And off we'd go. I mean, if he compiled a list of vehicles, it'd be, you know, it'd be longer than one sheet of paper. That's for sure.
Ron, any final thoughts from you?
Well, you know, always, I go back and listen to some of the old games, and that was pretty cool. What a blessing we got to do that together for so long, and now I'm enjoying the time with Keith to be able to do games and still teaching him the game of baseball. But he's coming along.
Well, you know, it would have been hard for me to hear anybody doing what I used to do, but I have a close connection with Harris family. I remember when Keith was born. He was born 2 days after or before, within our middle daughter, the one that lives here in Kansas. And so we've known them. I've known him, known his family forever. So it's kind of fun that someone, one of the seven degrees, as you like to say.
Indeed. You bet. We're going to have to do this again. It is, well, again, typical Gabe. Yeah, let's go on for a couple minutes, talk and play the song, and here we are 35 minutes later, still, you know, still yakking away,
as a
different
fault.
Teacher once described me. That would be Lois Ryden if she's listening, or DeGuglielmo as she was at the time. So, we got your song played on the air. It will not be the last time we play it on the air. Again, the blog website is covidtrain.wordpress.com. We will look for the, I guess we could call it the first epilogue, because you're not done writing, Coach Jay. If I
not
have anything
yet
to say about it anyway.
By the way, there's a pop quiz afterwards to see if you can name all the four groups or the people who those verses are about. I'm not going to tell you the answer.
Okay, I will. I'm a much better student now than I was in seventh grade, so I think I might do okay on that one. All the
right.
Best. We will talk at you soon.
All right, Gabe, Ron.
All right.
So good to talk to you guys.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
And love to Linda and everybody.
Yep, Linda's here. She's been listening to the conversation.
Well, all the best, everybody, and have a wonderful Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to everybody out there and to you guys, especially in your families.